you do it again? Heaven break. Lord, send revival. Love, send revival. Lord, send it now. Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. Move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again?
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit. Heaven break out.
Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before.
Would you do it again?
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit. Done it before, would you do it again?
Heaven break out. I can't hear myself in my ears.
Heaven break out is already in the lyrics. Back up. You see how they word it right there? You got to word the same way.
The move of your spirit, heaven break out. Yeah. Oh, heaven break out.
Okay.
Heaven break out. Oh, heaven break out. Heaven break out. Oh, heaven break out.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, send revival.
Lord, now. Move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival.
Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again?
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit, heaven break out.
Come now in power, cover this land
like you've done it before. Would you do it?
Let's do the bridge on the fourth time.
Yeah, let's
let's do the fourth time on the bridge.
Then you go,
heaven break out.
Okay.
And then you- you go, heaven break out. And I'll go, oh.
Hey, I think you got it.
Okay, yeah.
That, I think you do.
Yeah. Okay.
Lord, send revival.
Lord, send it now.
Move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Heaven break out.
Oh.
Heaven break out.
This last part. Okay. That was twice, I thought. We want it two times or four times? We just did it twice. Hold on. Yeah. You don't think it's at the end, Muff? Is that at the end, Nate? Do you know if that's at the end of the song? Four times, that's the end? Okay. Right. Hang on. The last four. Yeah. Put four right there, and then at the last part, there's no heaven breakout at the end of the song. We're going to end on the bridge.
Good.
Thank you, Miguel.
I feel tight, yeah.
We're going to do that four times now instead of twice. He wants to do that one more time. Let's try it one more time. Just that end part where he comes into heaven break out.
You need to practice another song though, right? No, we're good.
I need to run through it once, but yeah. No, none of it, the heaven break out at the end of the song. We're going to end on the bridge. Yeah, just the one time for four times, heaven break out. Thank you, Miguel. And then the bridge after that is two times.
Let's just do it one more time from the fourth.
Can we go from the four bridges, Miguel, into the four? We're going to do the last, yeah, the four times, and then what's the next slide say? That's it, and then there's no more heaven breakout after that. That's the only heaven breakout part. Four. Four bridges, four heavens, two bridges. That's it. You got it. Perfect.
Four bridges, two heavens.
No, four heavens. We just changed it to heaven break out four times.
Okay.
And then do the bridge at the end twice and we're out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Big.
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit.
Which verse are we doing? We're doing the fourth. First bridge.
Oh, okay. I thought we were on the big one.
First bridge starts out small,
oh, the
right?
First one. Okay, sorry. I thought we were doing the fourth
one. Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. Spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power.
Just sing it. Okay. Okay.
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land like you done it before. Would you do it again?
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit, heaven break out.
Come now in power, cover this land like you done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
A move of your spirit, heaven break out.
Come now in power, cover this land like you've done it before.
Would you do it again?
Heaven break out.
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit, heaven break out.
Come now in power,
cover this land like you've done it before.
Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
Move of your spirit,
heaven break out. Come now in power, cover this land
like you've done it before.
Would you do it again?
On, going into heaven break out. Heaven break out. Let's go through it as well, Miguel. Thank you. We're doing, that's the last song, the one we just did. That's the fourth song. We just practiced it first. Yeah, it as well is number three. Well, you have the list, right? And then, okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah, this is the number three song. This is just me and Rick come in on this, right? I'm ready when you are.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice.
No guitar right now. None. Will you turn it up? Will you turn Rick up in my ear on this song, Chester? Sorry if I just unplugged
something. I can turn it up here.
Okay. Got it. He can turn it up. It's too, yeah, I need Rick and Dave turned up a little bit more. I'm hearing a lot of Muff and Abel and a lot of Nate, which I need Nate. Nate's good. Yeah, okay. Muff.
Leslie, don't you have in-ears?
Yeah, I have inner ears, but I don't have any. I don't have I just have one volume.
Oh.
See, I don't have what you've got, yeah. Turn the piano up on it as well for me, Chester. Thank you.
I can hear it good now.
grander earth has quaked before. Moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all,
turn Nate down in my mic, Chester.
My eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let it go.
This is just me, Nate, on this part. Let's start again, and let's get the... No? Okay. I just felt like it was dragging in the beginning a little, Muff. It wasn't? You got it right? The right beat? Okay, okay. Go back one slide. Let's do the last through it all. Is that okay?
Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let it go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Oh, it is.
Turn Nate down in my microphone, Chester, all the way.
It is well with my soul. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. I'm good. Thank you, guys. It's like, nah, I need to go put on my makeup. I got to go put on my makeup.
Let's go through Grace the Gardens one time through. Oh. You just asked me if I want to do anything, and then you just shut me down. No. Oh, no, no. No, I don't want to. Yeah, Graves to Gardens. Wait, I can practice that myself. Yeah.
I said in the world, it couldn't feel me. Never enough. You came along, you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. No, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing.
Nope. It's over, baby, if you don't know it.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. See things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
I'm in love.
Good morning, everyone. Stand up. Put your hands together. Welcome to Ascend Church. I'm glad you guys are here. Hope you're having a great Sunday. I'm glad to be back.
You are God, and we lift you up. We'll keep singing, keep praising. We won't stop. Give it all you got, 'cause you're worthy of all glory. Oh, there is no other. You are forever. Lord, over all, there's nobody like you. No one beside you.
Here we go.
To you, let endless praise resound. Every night and day and with no delay, let endless praise resound.
Join us with Nate.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along, you put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. No, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen it all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. No, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing.
There's nothing
better than you.
There's nothing better than you.
There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you.
Better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Nothing better than you, Jesus. Oh,
there's... You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. You're the
You know, when you sing that song, you're making a declaration of faith. You're declaring, Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one better than you. And when the scripture says he turns seas into highways, that's talking about when God parted the Red Sea and it looked like there was no way that for them to get out. It looked like it was impossible, but God made a way. He turned the Red Sea into a red carpet. He made a highway. And that's what you're saying when you sing that song. You're saying, Lord, no matter what I face, no matter how it looks, that you are the God who turns the grave into the garden. You turn bones into armies. You turn seeds into highways. There's nobody like you. You're actually talking about the greatness of our God. And family, listen. One of the reasons we gather together is so that we can lift our voice together and we can worship God together in unity with one accord. We come together and we lift our voice and we give God praise today because He is worthy. Can you say amen, somebody? Can you shout amen, somebody? Come on, let's sing it one more time. Sing it with us.
Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn mourning to dancing. You give
shout today. Get excited today. Let Jesus know that we trust Him. We worship You, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You that You are the God who turns the grave into gardens. You're the God who makes a highway through the ocean. You, Lord, there's nobody like You. We've searched the world and there's no one who can compare. Let me tell you, family, when you know Jesus, when you have Jesus, you have everything. He's everything that you need in your life. And you can declare, you can sing with us, it is well. It is well with my soul. I want to encourage you this morning to lift your voice and join with us and worship the Lord as one today, in one accord. Declare it with us, it is well with my soul.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard.
Sing it with me.
But through it all, through it all, my eyes You. Through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on You, and it is well with me. And far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. But this mountain that's in front front of me can be calmed and thrown in the midst of the sea. But through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. His name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. The waves and wind still know His name. Come on, church, sing it. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Oh,
declare it is well with my soul. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that you know that Jesus has forgiven you of all your sin, that He's cleansed you, that He's made you righteous, that you can come boldly before His throne of grace? For the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy, obtain grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad today that you can stand with a clear conscience and know you can declare, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you, we come to church, it's important for us that we would pray. That we would pray for our nation. That we would pray. Because when we pray, God moves. Do you know that? When we pray, if there's ever a time we need to be praying, it's right now, family. It's crazy out there in the world. Have you noticed? It has gone crazy out there. And we need to be praying. We have the solution. Let me tell you right now, if you're looking to the politicians to solve this, you're looking to in the wrong place. We got to look to our God. We have the solution. And when we pray, things happen. When we pray, our God moves. He delivers us. He protects us. He heals. He restores. Amen. The Bible says, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen. We've got to, let's not forget why we're here today, why we gather today. We gather because we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His voice on this earth, and He has given us authority. And when we gather together and we lift our voice and we pray, let me tell you, things happen. Cities are shaken. Nations are changed. You see it throughout the scripture. I mean, just one man prayed. Elijah was one man like you and me, and he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then he prayed again, and the heavens gave forth their rain. There is power in prayer. Say, there's power in prayer. Say, there's power when I pray. And I want you to join with me today. We're going to pray. We are going to pray every single Sunday. We are going to pray for this nation. We're going to pray for revival. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to stand against the enemy. You know, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Listen, you've got to be careful that you don't get caught up into looking at this from a human perspective and looking at this political party and this political group. You've got to realize we're in a spiritual warfare, and the enemy is trying to bring destruction, really, upon America. He's trying to bring death. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we're going to pray. Will you join with us and join your faith with us today? Because the Bible says, man, if any two will agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. So agree with us today. Say this, say, Father in heaven, we thank you. You're the only true God. There's nobody besides you. There's nobody like you. You're the all-powerful God. You're the almighty one. Lord, we call upon you today. You said, if we call upon you, you would answer us. You'd show us great and mighty things. You said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, you'll hear us from heaven and you'll heal the land. Say this, say, Father, we cry out to you today in the name of Jesus, that you would move across this land, that you would bring healing, bring restoration. We stand against this virus in the name of Jesus. We come against you right now and we resist you in Jesus' name. Father, we pray. Say, Father, we pray. Let your healing power flow throughout this nation. We pray there'd be revival across this nation. We pray that you'd move by your Spirit, that people would come to Jesus. People would be drawn to Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for bringing restoration. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who makes a highway through the Red Sea. You're the God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. Say, Lord, I'm looking to you. I thank you. You're the healer. You're our provider. You're our protector. You're our deliverer. We declare Jesus is Lord over America. There is revival in America. We declare there's peace. Peace in this land. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that today? Come on, shout out. Say, I agree. In the name of Jesus. As we sing our final song today, I want to invite you, if you need prayer for yourself personally, whatever it may be, we are a church that believes that our God is still the miracle working God. If you need healing in your body, He's the healer. We've prayed for hundreds of, probably thousands of people and seen Him do, the Lord do miracles. If you need healing, we want to pray for you today. If you have a financial need, there's no need He cannot meet. Whatever you're facing in your life, if you say, Pastor Steve, I really need, I'd like someone to pray with me today, please don't be shy. I want you to come right now down to the front here, and our prayer partners are going to be ready to pray with you. If you need prayer, come right now. And church, let's sing it out together. Lord, send revival. Let's declare it today. Come on, let's lift our voice. Let the Lord hear us. We're praying for a revival to sweep across this nation. Amen. Thanks, Nate.
Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now.
Yes.
With the move of your spirit, heaven break out.
Yes, Lord.
Come now in power. Come now and pray. Peace like a river. Wash over me.
Yes.
Peace like a river, wash over me.
Yes, Lord, immerse us.
Immerse me in water as deep as the sea.
Yes.
Hide me in love, your healing embrace. Peace like a river.
Yes.
Watch over me as I worship your majesty. I worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that I am is yours.
Yes, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Sing it with us
as I worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that I am is yours. Worship your majesty.
I worship your majesty.
I worship your holy name, Jesus, my everything. All that I am is yours.
Yes, yes, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. Come on, Lord, send revival.
Open the heavens, fling wide. Gates, flood every heart with mercy, oh. Pour out your presence, inhabit our praises. We cry, holy, holy. Open the heavens, fling wide the gates, flood every heart with mercy, oh. Pour out your presence, inhabit. Cry, holy, holy, holy. revival, Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit.
Come on, sing it out.
Heaven break.
Sing it out, church.
Come now in power. Cover this land like I've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power.
Yes, come on.
Cover this land like
out,
you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it again? Lord, send revival. Lord, send it now. A move of your spirit. Heaven break out. Come now in power. Cover this land like you've done it before. Would you do it?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heaven break out. That's what we pray. Heaven break out. Because let me tell you, it feels like all hell broke out. But I declare heaven's breaking out. Heaven's breaking out across America. We declare, Lord, send revival. You've done it before. Do it again, Lord. Amen. Do you agree with that, church? I said, do you agree with that today? You agree? Lord, send revival. Done it before. Do it again.
Just stay in an attitude of worship for a moment. Kimbra bo siandela kabra baka. Doshtila bayandela baka stiliande. Doshala baka. For I hear the Lord saying that there are many enemies to your faith. There are many enemies. They come from the outside, they come from various directions. But there's an enemy of discouragement that the devil has begun to put upon his God's people. And there's a discouragement that doesn't feel like an outright attack to you. It doesn't feel like, man, something big's come against me. It's rather just an apathy that begins to settle upon you.
That's right.
And it's a discouragement. And what it is an enemy of your faith.
Yes.
Because what it is, it's making you settle down and do nothing. And the Lord says that today there is the Spirit of God moving in this place to lift discouragement off of His people.
That's right.
Because you need to recognize it as an enemy to your faith. Because God wants to move through your life and in your life and do things, but as long as you are discouraged, you do nothing. And so right now, I just declare it.
Yes.
I just command the spirit of discouragement to lift off of God's people. Lift off, just lift your hands.
Yes.
Say, I cast the spirit of discouragement off of me right now. I thank you, Father, for a fresh anointing that begins to stir up my spirit. I thank you, Father, that I begin to walk in power and walk in the anointing, and I am encouraged and uplifted and strengthened today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church family. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Thank you. God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. To those watching on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on our website, or on the podcast afterwards, we just welcome you to the service. We ask you to just get yourself comfortable and become a part of everything that's said and done. Let the Lord speak to you and minister to you today. And we're so glad you joined us to worship together this morning. You know, worship is not just a time to give you a few extra minutes to stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way and get here in time for the message. Worship is a part of the whole service, the part of us coming into the presence of God. They came, there's a number of books in the book of Psalms, the way they entered God's presence, the Psalms of Ascent. They would, as they ascended into God's presence, they did it in a certain way. And that's the same that we do when we praise and worship. We come and bring ourselves, our hearts, into a posture before the Lord that we are able to receive from Him. Amen? You look good today. Thanks. I wasn't asking for that. I know you ask for that every time, right? But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If this is your first time at Ascend Church, welcome. We're glad you're here. We like to just honor you. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we'd like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Come on, let's give them a welcome. God bless you. God bless you. I see some beautiful ladies. So glad you're here today. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. I don't know how you came to, we'll probably find out, but maybe someone invited you, or you saw the church, you went to the gym next door and saw the signs, whatever it is. I don't believe it's an accident. I know the Bible says the Lord directs our footsteps, and so I pray that you get whatever it is that you need from the Lord in this service today. And in that visitor pack, there's a couple of things, one being a white guest card, and we ask you to just write your name down. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by, just drop it in, and that gives Pastor an opportunity to call you and just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. And I want to just tell you the four main purposes of our church. I reiterate it every week because I want you to know that everything we do is around these 4 points. The first one is we want you to know God. Christianity is about relationship. It's all about, the more I know my husband, the more I can think like he does. I know how he'll think in a situation. We want you to know God in that way, to know how he thinks, what his motives are, what his intentions are, that you can never be led astray, right? Second of all, we want you to find freedom. You know, we come to the Lord and the Bible says our spirits are made new, but our mind needs renewing. We have some things that are clinging on to us that we need to let go of, and I believe we can find freedom in every area. Thirdly, that we would discover our purpose. We won't be just bumps on a log, but we will be active members of the body of Christ. Amen. And lastly, that we would make a difference with our lives. I want to do that. How about you? I want to make a difference with our lives. Thanks, my dear. We're pretty sad. We had our grandkids. We kind of put our grandkids ahead of our kids these days. Ed Trout says, your grandchildren are a reward from the Lord for not killing your own children, right?
Well, he said, if I knew how much I'd love my grandchildren, I would have skipped my kids and gone straight to the grandkids.
Brady likes that one. But we had a house full of kids, and we've had them in church for the last 3 weeks, and it's been such a blessing to us, but...
Now the house is quiet again, right?
Yeah, benefits, clean house.
We just sit and listen to the sounds of silence. Praise God. Well, it's great to see you today. Thank you for being here. All those who are watching us online, we're so glad that you joined us. We have people watching from all over the world. We have many of our members that are watching us online. We're so glad you did. We love you. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again. You know, every week we have new people. Last Sunday we had a number of brand new first-time guests, and I called them, and some of them came back. It's good to see you back again today. And you may not realize it because, you know, we have a number of our regular members that haven't been for a while. Maybe 60, 70 regular members that haven't been coming. When they all come back, they're going to be surprised to see you. Who are you? Who are you? You're going to see all these new people. And you're going to be like, where are you from? They'll be like, I've been in this church for years. Well, I haven't seen you. I've been coming. We can't wait to have everybody back together again. Amen. We can't wait for that. But praise God. Thank God for technology that you can join us and watch us today. And we are going to have a great service. There's nowhere I'd rather be right now than in the house of God or watching this right now. You're in the best place you can be. Isn't that right, Anna? Praise God. Are you ready for God's word today? I want to encourage you, you know, thank you for everyone who, all of you who invite people to church. We really appreciate that. Remember, we got these little invite cards out there in the lobby. You're welcome to take as many as you want. And I use them all the time. Hand out, invite people to church. And Nadine, my daughter, was having her car fixed. And I met, she invited the young man. Is it Andre or Adrian? Adrian, right? Andre, you're from Brazil. And we're so glad you're here today. Welcome, Andre. We're so glad you're here. Amen. And I want to let you know, I'm pretty excited about this, that I've been telling you about our Spanish translation, but we have improved it so much. We went with a whole new system. We had the little receivers you had to wear and put in the headphones, and they just weren't working so good, and they had problems. So we improved it. We went with some high technology today. So starting from today, I want to explain to you how to listen to the Spanish translation. If you bring someone who speaks Spanish, I want to tell you how to do it. From now on, we don't use the little devices. Now you listen straight from your smartphone. All you need is a smartphone and a pair of headsets. I am going to guide you through it. So don't come to me afterwards and say, Pastor Steve, could you just go through that one more time? Listen to me now. Say, I'm listening. I'm going to take you through the Spanish translation. This is how you get onto it, okay? There's two ways of listening to our Spanish translation. Number one is through our mobile app, or number two is on our website. If you go to the mobile app, you would click onto live stream. You click that little icon on our mobile app. The next, then you will see live stream Spanish translation. You click Spanish translation. Then the next screen is going to look like that. You have to type in the word ascend. You type in the word ascend. Once you type in the word ascend, you hit search. The next screen that will come up will look like that. Sunday service. You push play. And then it'll say you'll have English or Espanol. You click Espanol. Click select. And it'll work. It'll come on. You'll hear it on your phone. The second way of doing it is to go to our website, ascendchurch.us. You go to the top right corner where it has the menu. Click on menu. You see live Spanish translation. You click on live Spanish translation. Going to take you. You're going to see this. Click here for Spanish translation. It's going to take you to the same place. You're going to see the same thing. Type in ascend. Click search. Sunday service, Espanol, you're ready to go. So you can listen in the service from your smartphone and a set of headphones. Just follow those prompts. You think you got it? And we got Danny back there on her computer translating into Spanish. Thank you so much for doing that, Danny. Give Danny a big round of applause. I want to say thank you to Angela. Would you stand up, Angela? I've got to say thank you to Angela, because Angela, you know, Angela was telling me that when a number of years ago, when she started coming to the church, and one day my dad, Pastor Pat, he went home to be with the Lord in 2013. But one day he saw her at the church, and he asked her, Angela, what did he ask you? What do you like to do? What do you like to do? And she said, I like to research. And he said, you are going to research for the ministry. She couldn't imagine what she would ever be researching. We didn't need any research. But boy, oh boy, has she come in handy. Because she's the one who set up our mobile app. Anne set it up. She paid for it. Angela pays for the app. The Lord put it on her heart and she paid for it. I don't know, thousands of dollars. Thank you, Angela. And so when I said to Angela, listen, I want to find a better way to do the Spanish translation. She researched it. She found the company. She set it up. Then she had Dan speak to them. So thank you, Angela, for all that you did, for all you've done. We appreciate that. I also want to say to the worship team, what a great job you did today. Leslie, Nate, all the musicians. We got Rick on piano. We got Dave on guitar. We got Muff on drums. Abel on bass. And Nate and Leslie, you did a great job today. Thank you so much. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. Bring it on. You're supposed to say, bring it on. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the joy that you've given us. The joy, Lord, that is unspeakable. I pray, Father, today that you would restore to each one the joy of their salvation. I pray the joy of the Lord would rise up big on the inside of us today, Lord, and that we would remain joyful no matter what we face, Father, that we would have that spirit of joy that the world can never take away from us. We thank you, Lord, for your joy. Thank you for anointing me as I speak your word today in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. I want to speak about keep your joy today. That's what the Lord put on my heart, is to speak about keep your joy. And in John chapter 15, in verse number 11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Thank God Jesus has given us his joy. If you read the Passion Translation, it says, my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Jesus has given us his joy, family. He wants us to live with joy. Amen? Amen. And someone asked me earlier, Louis asked me, what is joy? Well, I'm going to tell you what joy is. You can write this down if you're following on that Sunday handout that we hand out. There's a place for you to fill out. What is joy? The dictionary says that joy is great pleasure, great happiness, jubilation, triumph, exultation, rejoicing, happiness, gladness, glee, exhilaration, elation, euphoria, bliss, ecstasy, rapture, good humor. Those are all part of what joy is. Some antonyms for joy, in other words, the opposite of joy, is misery, depression, sadness, unhappiness, discouragement, sorrow. God doesn't want us to be miserable, depressed, sad, unhappy, discouraged. He wants us to have joy. Can you say amen? Jesus was very joyful. I don't know if you know that, but Jesus was very joyful. It's one of the things the religious people hated about him was the joy that he had. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 1 verse 9, God anointed you pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. That's talking about Jesus. God poured out the oil of joy on Jesus. I got a picture in my office someone gave me years ago, and it's a sketch someone drew of Jesus laughing with a big old smile on his face. I got it right there in my office because I always like to look at my image of Jesus is a joyful one. Some people's image of Jesus, he's mad all the time. Jesus with me is always joyful. The believers in the early church were joyful. The Bible says in Acts 13, verse 52, the believers were filled with joy and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Joy is this distinguishing mark of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 17, for after all, the important thing for us as Christians is not what we eat or drink, but stirring up goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You got the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy. Say, I am saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. Say it again. I'm saturated with an ecstatic joy. You have the joy of the Lord within you, but you got to learn how to stir it up. You got to learn how to release it. You got to learn how to keep your joy and not give away your joy. Jesus said in John 16, verse 22, no one can take your joy from you. Say, no one can take my joy. The New Living Translation says, no one can rob you of that joy. And what that means is other people cannot make you unhappy. No circumstance can force you to get upset. The enemy may try and rob you of your joy. He may try and steal your joy from you, but nothing can take your joy. You have to give it away. And you know, we all have opportunities to get upset and go around frustrated. Maybe somebody was rude to you, or maybe traffic was really bad, or maybe you can't find your car keys. Life is full of inconveniences. Life is full of delays. We just recently had Comcast came out to our neighborhood. They were doing some new cabling in our neighborhood. Now, we didn't have Comcast. We had AT&T, and they cut our AT&T cable in three different places. We've been without cable and Wi-Fi since July 1st. It's now the 12th, 11 days. I had opportunity to lose my joy, let me tell you right now. I really did. I was thinking about going and finding that Comcast crew in my neighborhood. You don't want to know what I was thinking about. But I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to give away my joy. You'll never stop the inconveniences of life from happening. There'll always be something that can steal your joy. But here's the key. The key is how we handle it. The scripture says no man can take your joy. That means you control your joy. Say, I control my joy. Nothing can take your joy from you. You have to give it away. The next time someone cuts in front of you in traffic, what they're really saying is, give me your joy. I want your joy. You've got to ask yourself, is it worth giving them my joy? That person who was rude to you on the phone, you've never even met them. Are you going to give them your joy? That delay, that plan didn't work out. That negative comment, are you going to let that sour your day? You've got a choice. You can either give it to them and go around upset, frustrated, offended, or you can make a much better decision and you can say to yourself, no, I'm not giving you my joy. I'm not going to get upset because you were rude to me. I'm not going to get offended because you didn't speak to me. I'm not going to be frustrated because you cut me off in traffic. I've already made up my mind that I'm going to live this day with joy. I'll give you mercy. I'll give you understanding. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But one thing I'm not giving you my joy. Amen. You're going to make that choice, family. Because the reason some people are not happy is because they're constantly giving away their joy. One time I went for a photo facial treatment. You know what that is? Oh, you haven't lived until you've had one of them. Let me tell you right now. I'm a metro man. What can I say? No, it takes. I had some sunspots. I still got them on my face. And they do this little laser. It's laser. It hurts, man. It's like little needles going in your face. And I got my daughter Nadine recommended this place, and I found a Groupon. I do a lot of Groupons. I've got my fireworks, $129 of fireworks for $28 on Groupon. Groupon's paying me for this. So I found a Groupon for this thing, and it was a great deal. So I called the spa, and I asked them if they would match the price of the Groupon. I know they pay a percentage to Groupon, so I thought it would be better for them. And they agreed. So I went in for the treatment. After the treatment, I went to pay. I reminded them that they'd agreed to meet the Groupon rate, and they said, okay, yes, that's $139. And when I got home, I checked the Groupon, it was $100. So they'd overcharged me by $39. So the next day, I went back. If you don't know me, you got to know I got a little bit of Jewish blood in me. I do. A great-great-grandmother comes out every now and then. And so And so I went back to go tell them they'd overcharged me. I spoke to the girl who was at the reception. I told them my whole story. And the owner overheard me, the owner of the spa overheard me talking, came out from the back and said, I'm not giving you a refund. I don't care if you write a bad review about me. And you don't even have to come back. I mean, I stood there like this. I felt myself getting mad. I heard that voice saying, Steve, keep your joy, keep calm. I thought to myself, I don't want to hear one of my messages right now. But then I thought to myself, they all know who I am. Plus, my daughter Nadine comes here. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the extra $39, but I'm not giving you my joy. I didn't like it. It wasn't fair. But you know what? I've learned to not let things that I can't control to sour my day. I made up my mind. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to hold on to my joy. You can't control what people do, and you can't control what people say, but you can control how you respond. And my message to you today is very simple. Quit giving away your joy. Quit letting the same people upset you over and over again. Quit letting the traffic, the delays, the things that didn't work out frustrate you. You can't pray these things away. That person at the office who gets on your nerves, I don't mean to be negative, but let me tell you right now, they may not change. They may be that way for the next 20 years. Don't go the next 20 years giving them your joy. Even if they don't change, you can change. Life is too short to live it frustrated, upset over things that we have no control over. People have a right to their opinion, and I have a right to ignore it. People have a right to be rude, and I have a right to stay happy. Quit letting negative comments upset you. You got to realize they wouldn't be talking about you if you weren't making a difference. Nobody talks about people that aren't doing anything. They're talking about you because you're going places. They can see there's something special about you. You have God's favor on you. You are blessed. You are talented. You are anointed, family. But sometimes small-minded people will try and push you down, discredit you. You got to just learn not to pay any attention to it. It doesn't carry any weight. Let me tell you what they say. Cannot keep you from your destiny. It is simply a distraction. The enemy's trying to distract you and take your joy from you. Every person has this negative chatter. I got to tell you, all your family members, unfortunately, they're not all going to be for you. The comedian George Burns, some of you may never have heard of him, you're too young to remember, but the comedian George Burns said, happiness is having a loving, close-knit family living in another city. Now, that is a joke. But some of your relatives, you got to love them from a distance. And if they're sitting by you today, don't say amen right now. All your co-workers, they're not all going to celebrate you. All your friends are not all going to be loyal to you. Some people cannot handle your success, and they'll make remarks trying to bait you into conflict, trying to get you upset. Here's the key. Don't get involved with battles that are not between you and your destiny. Let me tell you, most of the conflict we engage in is just a distraction. The enemy would love to get you off course, offended, trying to straighten this one out, trying to convince them you're okay. Your job is not to change people's minds about you. Your job is not to try and make people like you. Your job is to run your race, to be who God called you to be, and not worry about the critics and the naysayers. Let me tell you, God will cause the right people to like you. And one of the best things that I've learned in my life is not everybody is going to like you. It was a shock to me. And let me tell you right now, it's a shock to me too. Not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody's supposed to approve you. Some people are ordained by God, not by the enemy. They're ordained by God to not be for you. And you've got to accept that not everybody's going to accept you. We see this in the scriptures, in the Bible. I mean, Joseph's brothers weren't supposed to be for him. They were ordained to betray him. Because without their betrayal, Joseph would have never made it to the palace to help the Israelites during the time of famine. You got to quit being sour because somebody betrayed you. How do you know that's not leading you to your palace? How do you know that disappointment is not part of God's plan to take you to the next level of your destiny? King Saul was ordained to not like David. If King Saul would have celebrated David and been happy for David's success, David would have never taken the throne. Are you with me today? Are you upset because someone's not for you? When the truth is God has ordained them to not be for you. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, there were two men, Sanballat and Tobias, who didn't like what he was doing. And they stood at the bottom of the mountain and they constantly shouted insults at Nehemiah. They were constantly trying to bait him into a conflict, get him to come down off that wall and come and argue with them. They were trying to get him upset. But Nehemiah understood this principle. Nehemiah is the one who wrote in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." He knew that your joy is your strength, family. Let me tell you, in the tough times, you need your joy. Joy is what gives you strength. That's why the enemy tries to steal your joy. Because if he can steal your joy, he can steal your strength. So Nehemiah said, "No, thanks. I'm not giving you my joy. You may not like me, but you not liking me has got nothing to do with me fulfilling my destiny. I'm going to stay focused on what God has called me to do." And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them, "I am engaged in a great work. I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you?" Four times I sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued to work with even greater determination. You know, Pastor Jill gave that word of the Lord today, that the enemy's trying to discourage you. He's trying to take your joy away, family. If Nehemiah would have come down off that wall and got upset and went down and tried to straighten them out, even if he won, even if he shut them up, he wouldn't have finished the wall when he did, because he ended up finishing the wall in a record 52 days. They rebuilt the wall in 52 days. I mean, it was an unbelievable feat because he refused to be distracted from what God had called him to do. And let me tell you, all the chatter that comes against you, it's a distraction. It's to get you upset. So you get involved with battles that really don't matter. Then you look up and you're not accomplishing what God has destined for you to accomplish. Can you say amen, somebody? Do yourself a favor. Don't pay any attention to it. Quit being upset by people who are not for you. People that make negative comments trying to marginalize you and trying to push you down. Let me tell you, what they say does not determine your destiny. They are simply a distraction. That's just noise. Don't even give it the time of day. Let me tell you, some people, no matter what you do, they are not going to like you, no matter what you do. Even if you changed and did everything that they wanted you to do, they'd still find some reason why you don't measure up. You've got to be at peace with people not being at peace with you. You don't need their approval. Let me tell you, you don't need anyone's approval to fulfill your purpose. You don't have to have them to be for you, to become who God has created you to be. Amen, church. Amen. But if you get distracted and you're trying to win them over and you're spending your valuable time trying to convince them to be for you, then you'll miss the fullness of your destiny. I encourage you, don't take the bait. Don't let them get you riled up. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And the word meek, it doesn't mean weak. Meekness is strength under control. That's what meekness is. In fact, the Passion Bible says, "What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you, for you will inherit the earth." When you ignore negative comments and you don't pay attention to the Sanballats and the Tobiases of life, you're not being weak, you're being meek. You got the power to fight. You got the strength to straighten them out. Tell them what you feel, but your strength is under control. You're not wasting your time engaged in battles that are not between you and your God-given destiny. I've learned when you stay on the high road, God will take care of your enemies. I've learned God can defend me much better than I can defend myself. In the scripture, Elisha was traveling from Jericho to Bethel, and along the way, a group of young men came out. They started making fun of Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, Elisha left Jericho, went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking him, making fun of him. They said, "Go away, Baldy. Go away, Baldy," because he was bald. The Message Bible says it like this: "What's up, old bald head? Get out the way, skinhead." You know, Elisha was annoyed. He could have gotten upset. He could have thought, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to straighten you out. I'll show you." But instead, he remained calm. He understood this principle that they couldn't take his joy. They were baiting him, trying to get him distracted. He just kept focused. He just kept doing what God had called him to do. And while these young men were making fun of him, the scripture says in verse 4, right away, two bears ran out of the woods and ripped to pieces 42 of the boys. Now that tells me two things. Number one, don't make fun of bald-headed people. And number two, you don't have to straighten people out. God will be your vindicator. Let me tell you, God knows how to take care of the opposition. God sees what they're doing. He hears their disrespect. And if you'll stay in peace and you'll keep your joy, God will fight your battles. And when God does, I can assure you, it'll be better than anything that you could have done in your own strength. But your feelings will want to pay people back. Your feelings will tell you, go on, get in there, man. Stand up for yourself. Get even. They did it to you. Do it back to them. If you let your feelings rule, you'll get upset. You'll end up giving away your joy. Don't get on board and just go along with whatever your feelings tell you to do. The Bible says in Psalm 94, verse 13, that you may give him power to keep himself calm in the days of adversity. Do you know that God can give you power to remain calm in the days of adversity? It doesn't say God will keep you from all adversity. It doesn't say God will keep you from all the opposition, from the sand ballots and the negative chatter. They'll come. We'll have opportunities to get upset. But God has given us power to stay calm. So you've got to stop telling yourself, "Pastor Steve, I can't help it. That person at the office, they just get on my nerves. I just can't help myself." No, you got the power to stay calm. That doesn't have to keep upsetting you. That is a learned behavior. They say something negative, I get offended, traffic is bad, I get upset, the clerk is rude, I can't help it, I'm just going to let them have it. The problem is you have strength, but it's not under control. You've got to relearn how to respond. You've got to develop new habits. The next time something happens you don't like, just pause for a moment and say, "Father, I thank you. You've given me power to remain calm. Thank you, I've got a spirit of discipline and self-control." Come on, do it right now. Say, "Father, I thank you. You've given me the power to remain calm and keep my joy." Amen. You don't have to let the same things keep upsetting you year after year. Change your approach. You may have been trained to respond in a certain way. You might have grown up seeing people lose their cool. I mean, when I was growing up, before my dad became a Christian, he had the worst temper ever, man. He had a quick temper. He'd get upset and punch things curse and swear. And he became a Christian, and praise God, he changed a lot. Not totally, but he changed a lot. Why don't you try a different approach? When you let people upset you, you're giving away your power. You're letting people control you. They push this button, you get offended. They push that button, you get upset. Another button, you get in conflict with them. Why don't you just turn off those buttons? Because let me tell you, life is so much more freeing and so much more joyful when you're not controlled by what other people say. You're not offended when someone's upset. You don't lose your joy because traffic was bad. You've tapped into the power to remain calm. Amen. A man by the name of David Pole wrote a book called The Law of the Garbage Truck. He was in a taxi cab in New York City, headed to a meeting, and a car pulled right out in front of them. The taxi driver had to slam on his brakes and swerve to avoid the car. He just missed that car by inches. The driver of the other car, who cut him off, put his head out the window, started screaming, yelling, cursing. He was so angry, so upset, shaking his fist. Funny thing was, it was his fault. He's the one who pulled out in front of the taxi cab. The taxi driver just smiled, waved, drove on. He didn't even give it the time of day. David was in the back seat. He was so impressed. He said, man, that man almost totaled your car, almost sent us both to the hospital. I can't believe you didn't yell back at him. How'd you keep your cool in that situation? The taxi driver gave a very insightful answer. He said, I've found that many people are like garbage trucks. They go around full of anger, frustration, bitterness, and as their garbage piles up, they need someone to dump it. And sometimes they'll try to dump it on you, but you can't take it personally. It's got nothing to do with you. You just got to just smile and wish them well and just move on. Let me tell you, successful people don't let garbage trucks overtake their day. If someone dumps a load on you, don't get upset. If you make that mistake, you'll end up carrying their garbage and eventually you'll dump it on somebody else. You've got to learn to keep your lid on. Tell your neighbor, keep your lid on. These days, there's many people that are dumping frustration, disrespect, criticism, bitterness. We can't stop them from dumping it, but we can keep them from affecting us. Years ago, Jill and I were going through an airport. We're going through security. We put our bags on the x-ray machine, you know, to go through the security. The security officer stopped and he said, you've got liquids that you have to remove. There's liquids in your bag. Jill said, oh, yes, I forgot to take out my water bottle. I thought he was just talking to Jill, so I just thought they didn't do anything. You would have thought I committed a major crime. I tell you, he was totally insulted. He started screaming, sir, what are you doing standing there? I told you to open the bag and do it now. I thought, man, he's got a big garbage truck, that guy right now. He's full of frustration, full of stress, and full of a lot of other stuff that I can't tell you. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm telling you right now, as I passed by, I said, I'm sorry about that. I thought you were just talking to my wife. Have a great day. God bless you. I didn't mean it, but at least I said it. I thought to myself, I'm keeping my lid on, man. I don't need his garbage. I don't need that poison. I'm not giving away my joy. We got enough things of our own to deal with. You don't need somebody else's bitterness, their bad attitude, their pressure. Keep your lid on tight. Amen. Keep your lid on tight. You got to just let those things bounce off of you. My destiny is too great. My time is too important to go around weighed down with other people's garbage. You can't keep it from coming, but you can keep it from getting in you. The longer I live, the more I realize, family, that every day is so valuable that we're not always going to be here. It's easy to live upset, offended, frustrated, but most of the things that are upsetting us in the big picture, they really don't matter. You'd be amazed at the little things that we let upset us at the end of the day that really doesn't matter. Traffic was backed up. Took you an hour to get home. Should have taken you 30 minutes. Is that worth losing your joy over? You're alive. You're healthy. God's given you breath to breathe. He's given you a family to love. Someone was rude to you. They made you look bad. They said something negative. Is that worth losing your joy over? What if you found out you only had a month left to live? I wonder how many things we're allowing to upset us right now. If we found out our time was limited, we wouldn't even pay attention to it. Can I tell you that our time is limited? The Bible says in James 4 verse 14, your fleeting life is but a warm breath of air that is visible in the cold only for a moment and then vanishes. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. It is so fleeting. It's over so fast. That little quirk your spouse does that gets on your nerves. If you knew you weren't going to be here in a month's time, I promise you, you wouldn't let it bother you. We'd focus on all the things that are right and not on the few things that are wrong. Are you with me? We wouldn't be complaining about driving in the traffic. We'd be happy to be in the traffic. We're alive. We've got another day to enjoy our life. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I've got to go work. That's why I'm unhappy. No, you don't got to go work. Some people don't have a job. Some people are in the hospital. Some people aren't able to work. I'm grateful to be employed. I'm grateful to be able to drive out in the traffic. Maybe you say, oh, it's Sunday. I've got to go to church again. No, you don't got to go to church. You get to go to church. Amen. You get to go to church. God has been good to me. I'm going to go and say thank you to him for his goodness in my life. Can you say amen? Not only that, but I get to go to a sin church and listen. Amen. I get to listen to that young, good-looking pastor there. I mean, Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, my boss isn't fair. He's so hard to get along with. You know, this is not the position that I want. The truth is, there is somebody out there that would love to have your job. There's someone who would love to trade places with you. It may not be perfect, but you got to keep the right perspective. God's blessed you with a job. Don't let that sour your life. If you pass the test of being happy where you are, then God can open new doors for you. But if you don't get happy where you are, you probably won't get to where you want to be. Are you with me? Your boss may not be fair. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just asking you, quit giving him your joy. He does not control your happiness. You control your happiness. If you let a grouchy boss or a grouchy neighbor or a bitter relative steal your joy and keep you from being happy, it's not their fault, it's your fault. Because you are as happy as you want to be. You got to put your foot down and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has brought about, and we will be happy and rejoice in it. This is the very day of the Lord that brings gladness and joy, filling our hearts with glee. Oh God, please come and save us again. Bring your breakthrough victory. Now, I included that verse because he said, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be filled with joy. Lord, come save us and bring your breakthrough victory. That means they needed a breakthrough. That means they needed a victory. But what did they say? We will rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad in it. Amen? Evidently, they were facing some difficulty in their life because they spoke about God saving them, yet they were filled with joy, and they were filled with gladness. You see, you got to decide and you got to determine that you're going to keep your joy and you're going to be happy. You got to say, I'm not going to live sour. I'm not going to live defeated. I'm not going to live depressed. I'm not going to let what people do or what people don't do or what they say or what they don't say. I'm not going to let what I have or what I don't have keep me from being happy. I've made up my mind. I'm going to enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and I am going to be glad in it in the name of Jesus. I decided that. You see, I used to go waiting to have a big church that I'm going to be happy. Because we had a big church in South Africa. We had thousands of people. I mean, in 8 years, it went to thousands. So when I got here, I'm waiting for to happen. And I was waiting to be happy. And a major revelation came to me. I'm going to be happy and joyful no matter what size the church is, whether there's 50 or whether it's 50,000. I'm going to be happy and joyful. I made a decision. See, some of you are putting off your happiness. Well, when this happens, I'll be happy. Well, when that happens, I'll be happy. Listen, your joy's got nothing to do with what's going on around you. Your joy is within you, and no one can take it away. It dishonors God to go through the day upset, frustrated, bitter. God's the one who gave you the breath. Every day is a gift from God. He could have chosen anyone, but he chose you and he chose me. And one way that you honor God in your life is by being happy, by living grateful, by having a good attitude, by seeing the best in life. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Other day I went to pray for someone in a hospital who's fighting cancer. And, you know, it leaves you with a different perspective. I realized how silly it is to get upset and frustrated by delays and bad traffic and rude people. It's not worth losing your joy over. Amen, family? In the big picture, let me tell you what frustrates us often really doesn't matter. I'm not believing for a loved one to make it. Gratefulness is the key to happiness. When I have small things come against me and try and steal my joy, I remind myself of that. And I think about all the apostle Paul went through. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:23, I worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I faced death again and again. He said, 5 times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. He said, I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. I faced danger from men who claimed to be believers, and they were not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Yet the same Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4, I am overwhelmed with joy despite all our troubles, despite everything that's going on. I am overwhelmed and I am filled with joy, family. Let me tell you, Paul proved that you can be joyful no matter what's going on around you. You can keep your joy because your joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Your joy of the Lord is within you and it's not dependent on anything. You can be joyful no matter what you're facing. That's the revelation today. Paul wrote so many scriptures from a prison cell. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He wrote that to the Philippian church while he was in a prison cell. Joy is what helps you get through those times. Joy is what gives you strength. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul never prayed for people to be delivered from their problems. He prayed that God would give them the strength to go through them with a good attitude and with joy in their heart. Are you letting insignificant things steal your joy, the traffic or negative comments? You can't find something. You've got to keep it in perspective. That is not worth losing your joy over. Amen. Don't let the small, insignificant things keep you from seeing the gift of this day. In the scripture, Habakkuk said it like this. In Habakkuk 3 verse 17, he says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and even though there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, what am I going to do? Am I going to get depressed? Am I going to complain? Am I going to feel sorry for myself? No, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. What am I going to do? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. What was he saying? He was saying everything's come against me. I've had some bad breaks. Business is down. My income is low. Surely that's a reason for me to be discouraged. But his attitude was, no, I'm not giving away my joy. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Amen. Salvation means deliverance. Do you know that? He said, if you read the New International, the NET, I think that's New English Translation, it says it like this. It says, I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. The reason I can have joy is because I know that no matter what comes against me and no matter how impossible it looks, this is just another opportunity for God to display his faithfulness, for God to show me his great power. That's why I can stay joyful. The Message Bible says it like this. I'm singing joyful praises to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. I'm counting on God's rule to prevail. Amen. Let me tell you, when you stay full of joy, despite what comes against you, God says salvation's coming, deliverance is coming, turnarounds are coming, healing is coming, increase is coming, victory is coming, breakthroughs are coming. That's why the Apostle James wrote to us in James 1 verse 2. He says, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Oh, when trouble comes your way, here's a chance to be joyful. When's the last time you saw a Christian so full of joy, doing cartwheels, big old happy smile, laughing uncontrollably? And you said, what's going on? Oh, I've got so many troubles coming against me. I'm just so full of joy. I tell you right now. When's the last time you saw that happen? The Passion Bible says it like this. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. When you're facing nothing but difficulties, when you're facing nothing but trouble, see it as an opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and there is nothing lacking. Let me tell you right now, if you will stay joyful, if you will stay joyful no matter what comes against you, if you will keep your joy, God says, I will make sure that there is nothing missing and there is nothing lacking. I will give you the victory. I will bring the breakthroughs if you will keep your joy. I remember, and I'm coming to a close, if you're not getting something out of this, I'm sure preaching myself happy today right now. I remember when I was 18 years old in South Africa, I was a new Christian, and a man by the name of Jerry Savelle, great minister, he came to South Africa and he preached a message called If Satan Can't Steal Your Joy, Then He Can't Keep Your Goods. I still remember it. He read from Hebrews 10, verse 32, and it says, don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your heart? You endured a great marathon season of suffering, hardship, yet you stood your ground. He said, remember those days right after the light shined in your heart. That means when you came to the Lord, that's when the fight began, because the enemy wants to try and get you to turn away from the Lord. Do you know, before you came to Jesus, you were not a threat to the enemy, but now you're a threat to him. And you say, I don't want, Pastor Steve, since I became a Christian, this came against me, that came against me. I don't understand. These things are going wrong. Because you weren't a threat before, but now you are. So the enemy's going to try and discourage you, steal your joy, get you to turn away from Jesus, because he doesn't want you bringing other people into the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you experiencing breakthroughs and victories and giving God glory and praise in your life. So you're a target. He's out to come against you. The Bible says, I'm going to carry on reading. It says, at times you were publicly and shamefully treated, being persecuted for your faith. Then at other times you stood side by side with those who preach the message of hope. It says you sympathize with those in prison. And when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with? This is not a trick question. It's right up there on the screen. You accepted, when all your goods were confiscated, he said you accepted it with joy. They didn't lose their joy. They kept their joy. You were convinced you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. It says, so don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. You need strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you will receive the promise in full. For soon, and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from faith, but if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. Now listen, here's the key. If you remain joyful, then Satan cannot keep what he stole from you. The joy is an attitude of faith that allows God to work in your life. And in Jeremiah 33, in verse 11, it says, the voice of joy, say the voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first. The New Living Bible says, I will restore the prosperity of this land to what it was in the past. And the Living Bible says, I will make this land happier and more prosperous than it has ever been before. Now, here's the key. If you will remain joyful, even in the midst of your worst onslaught from the enemy, if you will see it as an opportunity to keep your joy, then you can expect Jeremiah 33 verse 11 that says that God will see to it that the land will be happier and more prosperous than it ever has been before. God will see to it that what has been taken from you will be restored back to you. In fact, in Proverbs 6, verse 30, it says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. Do you know the devil is a thief? Do you know Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said the devil's a thief. And he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Anytime you see destruction, anytime you see death, anytime you see people being stolen, that's the enemy. That's not God. That's the enemy. Jesus said, I came that you might have abundant life. But Satan's a thief, and he's trying to steal our joy, and he's trying to steal our faith, and he's trying to steal our health, and he's trying to steal our money. But if you will not allow his attacks to rob you of your joy, the Bible says he must restore sevenfold. When you catch a thief, he must restore it, pay it back seven times as much. So listen, family, I want to encourage you today to keep your joy. Tell your neighbor, keep your joy. Hold on to your joy. Why be joyful? Why, Pastor Steve? Because that's what keeps you strong. And you are demonstrating great faith when you hold on to your joy. And that's what allows God to work in your life. when Paul and Silas were put in jail, they sat with their feet in the stocks in a Philippian jail cell in Acts chapter 16. Their legal rights had been violated. They'd been arrested without cause, beaten without a trial. At midnight, the Bible says, they were singing praises loudly. All the prisoners were listening to them. They were rejoicing in the Lord. They were keeping their joy. And what happened? A miracle happened. That jail began to shake and everyone's chains fell off and all the jail doors flew open and they ended up leading that jailer to the Lord that night. Let me tell you, they saw a breakthrough. They saw a miracle because they sang praises and kept their joy even when they were in prison at the midnight hour. Family, I'm asking you today to keep your joy. Life's going to throw you some curves. There's going to be some disappointments, things that happen that are not fair. That's when you're going to say like Habakkuk, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. We're going to make this decision every morning. I will be joyful today. You've got to decide ahead of time that you're going to be joyful, that you're going to enjoy the day. And when somebody dumps a load on you, when they're rude to you, you've got to keep your lid on. If you're tempted to get upset, you got to remind yourself you got the power to remain calm. If you'll do this, I believe, family, I declare in the name of Jesus, you're not only going to enjoy your life more, but you're going to be free from unnecessary frustration and unnecessary bitterness and unnecessary anger. I declare you're going to have a greater strength. I declare God's going to deliver you and bring you to a place of nothing missing and nothing lacking. If Satan can't steal your joy, then he can't keep your goods. God is going to restore it to you. In Jesus' name, he's going to make the enemy pay. You're going to rise higher. You're going to live happier. And you're going to reach the fullness of your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. If you believe it, give God some praise today. Put your hands together and give God praise. Say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Say, I'm keeping my joy. Tell your neighbor, I'm keeping my joy. I'm holding on to my joy. Amen. Say, this is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Did you get something out of this today, Abel? Did you get something out of this today? Praise God. Won't you just bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Thank you, Rick. Just bow your head for a moment while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and God. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you will spend all of eternity? Let me tell you the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right with you and God. Knowing that you have peace with Him. Knowing that every mistake that you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for sure that heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely sure. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you absolutely sure of where you would spend all of eternity? Because let me tell you, heaven's real. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. The Lord wants to fill you with joy and peace today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're seated, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me, pray for me. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. If that's you today, won't you just quickly lift your hand up high, put your hand up, say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. I see hands being raised. Just slip it up right now. If you lifted your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you, please say this prayer with me. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you have peace with God. That's how you make sure, you can be sure you're going to heaven. Because if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead and you confess him to be Lord of your life, the Bible says you will be saved. So I want you to say this prayer with me, please. If you lifted your hand, say this prayer. In fact, I want to ask everybody, can we all say this prayer together? Everybody out loud say, "Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth just for me, to die on a cross. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you." Say this, say, "From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to live for you. And I thank you." Say, "I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." And everybody said amen. I want to ask you, if you lifted your hand, please would you remain just for a few minutes when we close the service. We have a gift we want to give you. One of our volunteers is going to come over to you, give you a gift before you go. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Anyone here believes in giving? Any joyful givers? God loves a joyful giver. I want to thank everyone who's been so faithful to give online, to tithe online. We so appreciate your faithfulness. I want you to know we are trusting God for the windows of heaven above to be open above you, for blessing to be poured out on you, for God to supply every need in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad you mentioned that there's many ways to give, and we just try to make it easier. Where Pastor Steve is talking about Angela, she's just gone over and above concerning our mobile app. So you can give on the mobile app. You can give on securely on our website. It's all up here, but you can always just give with the envelope that's right here. Watching on Facebook, there's a link to give. Watching on our website, very simple. Click the word give and it'll lead you one time set up. And then after that, it's just real simple. So as we get ready to give, I always like to just read a scripture, because you don't do anything just because people tell you to do it. You've got to follow what the Word of God says, and then you'll get the results that God said, right? So in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, you've probably heard the scripture before. But the Bible says, "Honor the Lord by giving him your money and the first part of all your crops." That's talking about other places in the Bible. It talks about the first tenth. It talks about the tithe. It's very important, the first, and it's very important, the amount, right? Percentage is the same. And no matter what you earn, it's relative to what you have. And it says, "Then you will have more grain and more grapes than you will ever need." So what he's talking about here, he's talking to farmers, and he's talking about harvest time. So now we know when there's a harvest time is when they begin to reap all of their goods, and their barns begin to fill up. God's talking about a harvest time, but he wants us to see that before we have a harvest time, there has to be a seed time. Wouldn't it be stupid if a farmer was out in the field saying, "Where's my crops? Where's my crops?" if he didn't plant any seed, right? And so there's a harvest, but there's a seed time. And so God has a method and a structure that he set in place. And I want you to understand this about tithing, that God wants to open the windows of heaven above you. God wants to fill your barns. That's what the Word says. God wants to. It's not that we're trying to twist his arm to do something. He wants to do it, but he has a method and a structure. And I want to give you just three quick facts about the tithe. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." So number one, when I bring my tithe, I have acknowledged that it is not my boss, it's not my job, it's not my customers, it's not my company that has blessed me. Amen. When you give your tithe, that's what you're saying. You say, I realize who the source of my blessing is, right? I'm acknowledging that God, it is you who has blessed me. My daughter was saying to me that she has various streams of income, and she was saying that one of her streams of income went down because of this pandemic. And the person who was paying her said, I feel so guilty to reduce your salary. And she said, you know what, I want to just make this very clear to you, that as much as I appreciate what you pay me, you are not my source. God is my source. So if something dries up here, I haven't got my eyes on it and my whole world falls apart, because God is my source. I acknowledge that, right? And then also it says, acknowledge the Lord and then he'll direct your path. Sometimes we need direction when it comes to our finances. We need to know what job to take. We need to know what not to do, what deal to make. Amen. And we need divine direction. Second fact about the tithe is, when I tithe, I'm bringing my money up under God's divine protection, right? Malachi 3:11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So does that mean nothing bad happens? Your air conditioner doesn't go out, your tire doesn't go flat? No, it doesn't mean things don't go bad. It means that God is watching out for us, and he's going to make sure that the devourer is rebuked on our behalf. So our finances under God's protection. And lastly, through tithing, we cast down any struggle that we have to worship the gift and not the giver. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Just look around in the world and you see what people will do because they love money. They'll sell children. They'll do whatever. They'll get people hooked on drugs. They'll destroy lives for the love of money. And when we tithe, when we willingly give to God, we are breaking the hold that money could have over us. Let me tell you, you love your money, you will not be able to give to God. But when you give to God, you break that hold. Once and for all. Amen. So if you're ready to give, thanks. I like it too. There's a method and a structure, yes, in the Word of God, and it's because he wants to bless your finances. Yes. Amen. So if you're ready to give, just hold, yes, on to your envelope. Many people have given already online, and we appreciate it. Those that are giving right now, I just stretch my hand out. Come on, let's pray.
Yeah, we want to pray. Come on, lift your hand up, every tither, every giver, whether you're doing it today or, you know, you did it this week. Just lift your hand, because we're going to pray right, yes, now. Father, we thank you for every faithful giver and, yes, tither in this church.
Yes.
You promised to open the windows of heaven and pour blessing that we couldn't contain. You promised to rebuke the devourer and to protect us. Lord, we thank you right now for open windows.
Yes,
we thank you now for divine protection.
Thank
we thank you for blessings being poured out.
Yes.
We thank you for favor that surrounds your people. We thank you, Lord, for opening doors supernaturally.
Yes.
Lord, we look to you. You are our provider. You are our source.
Yes.
Thank you for blessing and prospering your people, that everything they put their hand to, it shall prosper in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, God bless you. What a great time we had today. If you are new here today, I would love to meet you. Pastor Jill and I, we come out in the lobby. We're usually the last ones to leave. If you can stay for a couple of minutes and say hi to us, we'd love to meet all the new guests today. Also, don't forget, when you go out, if you haven't got the Through the Bible in a Year reading program, pick one up when you go out there for free. I encourage you to read your Bible. How many people read your Bible this week? Can you wave your hand at me, read your Bible? I encourage you to do that. And take some of those invite cards. Invite someone next Sunday. If you know anyone who speaks Spanish and you've been waiting to invite them to church, well, now you can, because we have the Spanish translation. God bless you. Stand up with me as we close in prayer this morning. Worship team, where are you at? You're supposed to be up on the stage. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your joy. Say, Lord, I thank you for filling me with your joy. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, no one can take my joy, and I'm not giving it away. I'm keeping my joy. I'm going to stay joyful no matter what comes against me. I know if Satan can't steal my joy, he can't keep my goods. Lord,